Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Jesus Strong. This is Brian Peckham coming to you from Whitman, Massachusetts. And tonight we're going to continue on with message four of our series on It's Time to Get Fruity, Fruit of the Spirit series. So before I begin, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you will help me tonight, Lord God. Lord, you know today has been a really stressful day, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that you will give me the strength to minister your word to your people tonight, Lord God. And I'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Father, in your name. Amen. All right, theme song time. Let's hope it works. Last week we had a little technical difficulty, so let's see if it works tonight.
Fruit of the spirit, not a coconut. You want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness.
Got through the song without no interruptions. Thank God for that. All right. Well, tonight we are on lesson four. So we're going to talk about patience, the fourth fruit. Patience. Just the word is enough to remind most of us that we haven't arrived. I don't care who you are. I know that you sometimes struggle with being patient. I know I have that situation myself. It doesn't matter whether you're a kid or a senior adult. There are times when other people get to you. There's a story of a man whose car stalled in heavy traffic. Just as the light turned green, all his efforts to start the engine failed. You know what happened? He was trying frantically to start the car, and 100 other cars behind him were laying on their horns. In spite of his best efforts, the car wouldn't start through the entire time the light was green. The people behind him never slacked off the horn. He finally got out of his car and walked back to the driver right behind him, who had been laying on the horn even though he could hear the man trying to start the engine. He politely said to the man, "I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. Would you mind to try starting my car, and I'll blow the horn for you this time?" We are very impatient. If you don't believe it, consider this statistic. The annual cost of people running red lights in the United States is $7 billion. The average amount of time saved by running a red light is 50 seconds. We are always trying to figure out how to cram more and more things that need to be done into less and less time. We allow less and less time for things we don't want to waste time because we feel the pressure of all we think we have to get done. The time crunch is felt by nearly everyone. There is even a church, sad to say, there is even a church in Florida that advertises a 22-minute service. That's right, they promise that 22 minutes after the service begins, you will be dismissed. The music is fast, the prayers are quick, the sermons are only 8 minutes long. Now, if you think you're going to get this on the Jesus Strong radio program, you got another thing coming, people, because it ain't going to happen here. And in the opening of my sermon tonight, I want to touch on the fact that patience is especially difficult in our culture because we all feel like we have so many things to do. Think about it for a moment. Don't you get the most impatient when you are feeling the most pressure? I know that I do, and I suspect you probably experience the same emotions and struggle. There may be a few people who haven't been able to relate to the first three fruits of the Spirit. You may feel like you have no problem with being loving. You may be convinced that for the most part you experience joy in your life. It's possible that you really struggle with a lack of harmony, but I dare say there's not a person listening who doesn't wish they had more patience. And I want to begin this sermon where I always do, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And as you find the passage, let me share an observation that well-known Bible scholar John Stott made about the fruits of the Spirit. He has observed that the fruits of the Spirit can be divided into three groups. He suggests that the first three, love, joy, and peace, speak of our attitude toward God. The second set of three relate primarily to our attitudes towards others, patience, kindness, and goodness. The final three fruits of the Spirit, he suggests, reflect attitudes towards self, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know that his categories capture the fruits of the Spirit exactly, but nevertheless, his thinking may help you get your mind around this very practical list of spiritual traits. in an attempt to help us do that, I'm going to suggest three questions that I think will help us with our understanding of patience. Let's read this passage together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's begin with a question that is foundational to understanding this topic. What is patience? There are a number of very interesting definitions that people have come up with that may help us understand what patience is. Let's look at several of them. Perhaps some of them will help you. The first one is a bit humorous, although I think each of us will be able to relate to it. Patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. Patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. Patience is an inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is in control. There are actually three Greek words in Scripture that can be translated as patience. And why don't we take a few minutes to quickly survey each one with a little bit of background about each one. We will focus most of our attention on the third one since it's found in Galatians 5. Anicho. In the Greek word, it means up and hold. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. The word we're looking at here is translated tolerance. In the New American Standard, forbearing, in the King James Version, and bear with in the NIV. The idea is to sustain or patiently bear with something or someone. Another one is hupomone, which means under and abide. And in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The word we're looking here is translated endurance, patience, and perseverance in the various translations. The idea is that it's the patience that bears up under a load and provides steadiness in the midst of life's battles. It's the patience that allows a person to endure life's challenges without giving up and going home in defeat. Although there's a little difference in these two kinds of patience, both deal with hanging tough during difficult days. The next one is makrothumi. Makro, slow thumus, anger. It means slow to get mad. In other words, it's the opposite of a short fuse. Here is the key word that we're looking at. It's the idea of patience. In the form we typically think about, it's not primarily connected to hanging in during difficult days, but it involves not flying off the handle over little things. There's a Bible scholar described the idea of the word. He said, it means slow to get mad. In other words, it's the opposite of a short fuse. It's the idea of not getting mad over the little irritations that are so much a part of everyone's life. It's hanging on to our emotions when we feel like letting the fur fly over all those silly little things that so often get on our nerves. Let's be honest. Sometimes that can be a real challenge, can it? And let me illustrate. A man noticed a lady in the grocery store with her 2-year-old in the cart. The child asked for cookies. Her mother said no. The little girl began to cry loudly. The mother patiently said, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. It won't be long." The same thing happened in the candy aisle. This time the little girl kicked and screamed. The mother said, "There, there, Missy, only two more aisles and then we'll be done." At the checkout counter, the child reached for the gum. When her mom said no, she began to scream louder than ever. The mother said patiently, "Missy, we'll be through this checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then we can go home and both have a nice nap." The man followed them out to the parking lot and complimented the woman. "I couldn't help noticing how patient you were with little Missy." The mother replied, "Thank you, but my little girl is Francine. I'm Missy." Where does patience come from? The Bible is very clear when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, that these traits come from the Holy Spirit, not our own power. Now, this doesn't mean, of course, that a person who is not a Christian cannot have any of these traits in their life. It does mean that with God's help, these characteristics should be a part of every Christian's life. The reason we can get patience from God is that God has the corner on patience. Let me explain what I mean. When you look at the stories of the Bible, you can easily see that God operates on a totally different timetable than we do. We often find ourselves bent out of shape because things don't happen as quickly as we would like them to happen. The truth of the matter is that God doesn't work at the speed we want him to work. 25 years passed before Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. The only land Abraham owned in his lifetime was a cemetery plot. Israel didn't become a great nation for 900 years. David was anointed king, then Saul chased him for years. Jesus waited 30 years after his birth to begin his public ministry. The psalmist wasn't joking when he wrote that 1,000 years is like a day to God and a day is like 1,000 years. Here's the point. The way God does things is often totally different from the way we would like for him to do things. We are ready for things to be done yesterday, while God's timetable is very different. God never gets in a hurry. Consider the following. God appeared to Abraham when he was 75 and promised to make him a great nation. Very few fathers wait until they are 75 to begin a family, so you would expect God's promise to be fulfilled quickly, but you know the story. 25 years passed before Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. By the time the child was born, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. It is safe to say God was patient. Abraham and Sarah were not. God also told Abraham that every place his foot touched would be given to him. That's quite an amazing promise. Yet this promise isn't fulfilled on Abraham's timetable either. Abraham traveled many places during his life. The only land Abraham owned in his lifetime was a cemetery plot. The promise would be kept, but it didn't turn out the way Abraham thought it would. Abraham's descendants would leave the promised land 400 years later, but they would return. God wasn't in a hurry. The idea of becoming a great nation was going to take an even longer time. After 400 years in Egypt, the people would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Then they would enter the promised land where they would remain a weak, immature nation for many years. You can read about the instability of the young nation in the book of Judges. In reality, Israel didn't become a great nation for 900 years. The more you look at the stories of the Bible, the easier it is to see that God doesn't get in a hurry. Let's go to the story of David. God had Samuel anoint the young man to be the second king of Israel. David didn't seek the job. God sought him out for the job. And I can only imagine that visions of grandeur filled David's head the night after he was anointed to be the new king. But again, God's timetable was different. David was anointed king, and then Saul chased him for years. Are you getting the picture here tonight? listeners, God's timetable is very different than David's timetable. God is much more patient than we are. Let's take one additional look at this in the New Testament. Jesus spent 33 years on earth. And if I had been the one establishing the plan, I would have him hit the ground running. I mean, 33 years is a short life. I mean, I'm 36, and if I were to die tonight, I would think I lived a short life. But I would think he should make every minute count. But again, God's perspective was very different. He was much more patient. Jesus wasted 30 years after his birth to begin his public ministry. Most of us find it difficult to be kept waiting an hour, but God works. David was anointed king, then Saul chased him for years. Jesus wasted 30 years after his birth to begin his public ministry. The psalmist wasn't joking when he wrote that 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like 1,000 years. Here is the point. The way God does things is often totally different from the way we would like for him to do things. We are ready for things to be done yesterday, while God's timetable is very different, and God never gets in a hurry. Amen. Glory be to God. Most of us find it difficult to be kept waiting an hour, but God works at his own speed, now at ours. And I'm reminded of the words of Isaiah 40:13. But those that wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If you want to fly, run, and walk, you must learn to wait on God. How does patience work? And tonight I've tried to lay the groundwork as to what patience is all about up to this point in the sermon. But now let's get a little more practical. How does patience work in the United States? How does it work in your life and mine? Patience is even more of a challenge in our culture than it is in most others because of the way we approach time. Let me explain what I mean. We live by the clock, and there was this minister who visited India earlier one year, and he discovered that much of the rest of the world is a lot more laid back about things than we are in the United States. We live by the clock today. We don't even know how often we look at a watch or a clock. It's the way we measure nearly everything we do in a typical day. And you might be surprised to know that our concept of time would have been completely foreign to people in the Middle Ages. People in those days didn't think in terms of hours, minutes, and seconds. In fact, the concept of the second didn't even appear until the early 1700s. In our desire to accomplish all we can, many of us make lists and try to determine how long the things on our list will take us to get done. That's not wrong, but it can get in the way of what's truly important. And let me explain what I mean again. The good thing about making lists is that a list will help you get more done. Please don't hear me putting down having a to-do list. I can assure you that we need to regularly have a list of things and we're trying to accomplish. And there was a person that attended a management class one year, and one of the primary concepts they taught was to have a list and then work your list. However, the downside of a list is that while lists may help you get more done, they don't help you to do the most important things in life. For example, the most important things in life cannot be put down on a to-do list. Our desire to be a good husband or wife, mother or father, son or daughter, isn't something you can do that way.
our desire to mature as a Christian isn't something you can put down on a list and spend 5 minutes doing each day. It's more complicated than that. It's not wrong to make a to-do list. It is wrong to become so tied to that list that we don't have time for others and immediately become impatient with them. And there was a pastor's wife by the name of Liz Reynolds that said, "It wouldn't be hard to be patient if it weren't for other people." And to summarize what I've been trying to say tonight, patience means giving others the time and space that we would like to have ourselves. It means hanging tough when we feel more like blowing up. It means allowing God to help us be patient with others, just as we want Him to be with us. Patience works somewhat differently for each of us. And let me illustrate with the story of a 4-year-old boy and his mother who was on a long trip together. He kept asking the same question every few miles. When are we going to get there? Finally, his exasperated mother said, "We still have 90 more miles to go. Don't ask me when we're going to get there again." The little boy fell silent for a while, and then he timidly asked one more question from the back seat. "Mom, will I still be 4 when we get there?" In conclusion, we have an unprecedented opportunity to demonstrate patience in our culture. We can do it with God's help. The next time someone cuts you off on the highway, instead of giving them a piece of your mind, you can't afford to be without. Remember, it was probably an accident. When you are tempted to be impatient with your children or grandchildren, remember that you were once a child too. I'm not at all suggesting that you don't make them behave. I'm talking about the fact that your children are going to be children because they are, well, children. And I'm suggesting that you show others the patience you want them to show you. And as I conclude tonight, let me remind you that God has shown us patience and mercy by sending His Son for us. And if you're listening tonight and have never asked the Lord into your life, would you do that tonight? Or if you're listening to this message in the archives, would you consider giving your heart to the Lord right now as you're listening to this message? And say this prayer and mean it from the bottom of your heart. Don't just let it be lip service, but mean it from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe You died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive You as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank You for saving me. Amen and amen. Well, we are out of time tonight, and next week we're going to continue on with our message series, and next week we're going to talk about kindness, so you don't want to miss next week. And as we close tonight, I have a song. It's kind of a cute song. Sometimes I like to be a kid at heart, and when I heard this, I thought it was kind of cute. I thought this would be a cute closing song. It's called Patience, Herbert the Snail. So I hope you enjoy it. And I will see you all next week.
There was a snail called Herbert who was so very slow. He caused a lot of traffic jams wherever he would go. The ants were always getting mad, and the beetles, they would fume. But Herb would always poke along and sing this little tune. word for you. When Herbert was much younger, he often got in trouble. Forgetting that he was a snail, he did things on the double. He'd crash through every spider web, and with crickets he'd collide. Till one day Herbert's father took his meeting aside.
Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times when